Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929 is the phone number. I never say it, but my NMLS number is 79687. That's my personal, and the company's is 79620. This is not an advertising per se for my company, but I do mortgages, and my company has been doing mortgages since 2002, both here and in 10, 12 other states across the country. We have 40 to 60 loan officers to be able to help you. We can also help advise you in real estate purchases as well as commercial. We can access funds both on the conventional side as well as the FHA side. So give us a call. We are a lender now. Malibu Funding is a correspondent lender with a number of investors buying our loans. So make sure you can give us a call today. We can help you with a lot of different mortgage questions and problems. Right off the top, Arbi Abramian is not here today. The mortgage doctor is out. And where is he? He's actually studying to be a doctor. Yes, that's right. He flew to New York City to do some classes at Columbia. And Columbia, of course, is a terrific Ivy League school for doctors and doctor preparation. Arbi is a busy guy, very smart. He's also helping us grow our company. We're very happy to have him, but he's not here today. So in lieu of that, let's get right to news you can use and news of the day. Okay, first things. In the news of the day, what we're going to talk about is home prices, their increases, and what that means to you. What we're seeing here in home prices in Northern California versus Southern California versus other parts of the country, specifically out in Las Vegas, Nevada, we're being heard today, and some parts in New Mexico as well as in the upper Pacific Northwest, which, by the way, I spent last weekend with my son, who is an attendee of a college up in Portland, Oregon, Lewis and Clark. Great school, beautiful school. Matter of fact, on Yahoo 2 weeks ago, listed as the one of the top 10 most scenic schools in the country. Of course, I saw that and was thinking, well, that's great. It's a pretty place, but can they teach them? And that was my greatest concern. I want to make sure that the money, and believe me, college, wow. Anybody out there who's paying for college knows exactly what I'm talking about. The fees, tuition, room and board, and this is all for 8 to 8.5 months of schooling, which they have, 3.5 to 4 months off, whether it be in the summer, winter holiday break, or whatever other vacations are along the way. I mean, it can cost you anywhere from $35,000 to $70,000 tuition, room and board for 1 year. Thankfully, my son has a scholarship, but still, we're still forking out a good deal of money on a, yearly and a semester basis. So you are all aware of this, I'm sure, who are out there paying, or those of you that have children in grade school or in high school, this is what's happening. My personal recommendation is to open up a education fund. There are a number of them available out there, some kind of savings program to be able to prepare for the sticker shock when your children are about ready to go off to school. You will look at the financial aid packages. And the other thing I think, what we also looked at was, would it be better for my son or my other son who's in school or my daughter coming up, take a year off, work, make some money so that you're out of school without debt. I think it's a crime that kids are out of school today with debts anywhere from $50,000 to $150,000 or more if they go on to graduate school. And in Arby's case, he's going to be a medical doctor. The cost of education has skyrocketed. It's a crime, and what are we going to do about it? Okay, so one of the things that we're talking about, of course, is the rates and the home prices in the area. My son, of course, off to college this year. So what does this all mean in terms of what I'm talking about, home prices, and how they've affected you and your mortgage or your refinance going forward? Nationally, home prices have increased. That's a good thing. But it's a bad thing if they increase too much. Certainly in the Bay Area, you've seen inflationary trends not unlike they were back in 2004, 5, 6, and 7. I think it's cooled somewhat, and I have an article here based, November 4th, 2014 by Jan Swanson. Jan writes that the home price is increasing, narrowing, but remain broad-based. So she's talking about different states around the country where the greatest home price increases are. In California, let's just talk California, year to date up 8.5%. Last year at this time, they were up 13%. So as you can see, it's cooling. But at 8.5%, can we really sustain those? And can people really afford them? I'm not quite sure. I think, as she says, the price continues to be a broad-based increase. It's not just one segment of the market, where in some cities it is one segment of the market where you will find, you go to any resort city in California, up and down the coast, or even inland somewhat, you will see the high-end properties increasing at a different rate than the low-end properties. And that means that people with money, there's more demand. People that don't have money, there's not quite as much demand, which also is in this same article. They're talking about foreclosure rates and how they've increased, albeit not at the same rate they had been in years past, and more along the traditional lines of foreclosures that have been occurring over the last 25 to 30 years, but that those prices on homes that are being repossessed by the bank, REO, bank-owned properties, they are the ones that are coming back to the market and on the low end. Normally, it's on the low end, and when I say low end, in Southern California or Northern California, it's going to be a little bit different, but let's say properties under $300,000, $200,000 to $300,000, or even cheaper in the Inland Empire or in some other areas inland in California, and certainly in Las Vegas, Nevada, where a lot of the properties are mobile homes or manufactured homes. These type of homes obviously sell for quite a bit less. But on the high end, we're seeing demand. So if there is a foreclosure, the properties will be selling for more, obviously. And on the low end, not as much increase in price when they're sold from the foreclosure market. Obviously, with these numbers that we're seeing, you're going to see next year demand on housing in the areas that we talked about is going to remain high. We're hoping, obviously, for a little bit of relief in the mortgage market. And that brings us to the next news to use, which would be, what are the mortgage rates? Generally, this week across the country, we're looking at 30-year fixed rates at 4.0 to 4.125, and that is up from last week's about a quarter to a half point. Now, that's a pretty big jump in 1 week. I think there's a lot of things going on economically that are going to drive rates, and there's certainly volatility in many areas. We just saw a huge sea change in the political climate in the United States in terms of who's in and who's out. I don't know if the current election is going to mean much short term. Usually, and I was reading also in one of these articles, that the party that takes over or is now more in power, i.e. the Republicans taking over the Senate, they're going to want to put on their power clothes, I think is what the phrase was. It's pretty funny. But they want to see exactly where that power base would be able to extend to what they want to do as an agenda. I'm not quite sure that the broad-based Republican sweep into office is a mandate for a particular program, but certainly government regulation has always been not a very good thing for Republicans, and they don't like it. They want smaller government, less regulation, more of a free market look at things. And I don't know how that's going to translate with the new regulatory atmosphere in the mortgage business, whether it be the CFPB, whether it be HUD, whether it be FHA, whether it be lending in general. I'm just not sure. I think a lot of that has been driven over the last 5 years by the Fed, which is now run by Janet Yellen, of course. Okay, let's look at the FHA and VA rates at about 3.5 to 3.75. The 15-year fixed is about 3.25, and then all the ARM products are starting at 3, whereas last week they were starting in the high 2s. So as you can see, mortgage rates are inching upward, and what that's going to do for you if you're in the market right now, these are pretty good rates. I mean, if you're under 5%, if you're under my first mortgage, 8.5, 8.75, and that was in, when was that, 1994? So not that long ago, the economy was doing well then. Another thing that I wanted to talk about today, speaking of the economy, is there's an article today in Mortgage News about Small businesses hiring roars back in October. Talks about small businesses hiring. Employers added 102,000 jobs in October, up from an upwardly revised 93,000 the month before. So small businesses are leading the charge. The Republicans are taking over. Interest rates are still pretty low. So if you are considering purchase or refinance, give us a call at 888-713-2929. You can also email us, info@MalibuFunding.net. And we'll be right back. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You can also reach us through the email info@MalibuFunding.net. We have a website, so go there. We get a lot of inquiries about properties, about mortgage rates, about what's happening in the industry, www.MalibuFunding.net. With me today is a guest that's been on before, great real estate agent, mortgage loan officer in the Bay Area, Darren Woodworth. Darren, how are you?
Oh, super fantastic. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great, too, and thanks very much. I like good, positive people, and Darren certainly qualifies in that. We try to have on the show a number of different people to inspire as well as inform, and I'm really looking forward to the report from the Bay Area. So could you just explain one more time for the audience what area you do work up in that area, and then tell us a little bit about what's going on in the market?
I'm in Campbell, California, Santa Clara County.
Right.
Markets up about 2.6% in August, September for pending home sales in contract. A lot of condos and single family homes, manufactured homes are in there too. So market's pretty hot right now.
Okay, very good. What's your inventory level as opposed to traditionally what it is?
Right now it's hitting pretty good. It's we're a little bit up on the seller's market right now, but there's a lot of buyers out there, so
Right. Market's
really good right now.
Okay, very good. And in terms of your particular business and what you see in terms of, I guess, your buyers, I mean, do you represent buyers or sellers or both? I guess you represent both.
Yeah, I'm representing both right now. I'm in contract on three, representing three buyers right now. And I have a listing coming up in Campbell, California. So,
oh, awesome.
Hey, across the board.
Darren, give our audience your phone number in case somebody wants to call you. If they're in the area right now, they can give you a call directly so that you can get information to them as they need it.
My number is 408-425-7845.
Darren works for Malibu Funding, Inc. on the loan as well as on your real estate deals, so give him a call directly. He's got a lot of experience, many years in the business, and it does a terrific job for us and for the customers. Okay, rates. Clients rate sensitive, or they just want to get into the house?
Right now, it's a little bit of both. It's trying to get closing costs incorporated with their loan.
Right.
I'm in contract right now where I got a buyer $4,800 in closing costs.
Right.
And I'm able to buy down the rate a little bit. So they're looking both for rate and just getting into something in contract.
Okay, very good. In terms of this time of the year, traditionally, it's kind of a time of year where we slow down, but you're not seeing that right now in that area, right?
No, last year we were down 3% negative, and now we're up in home sales 2.6%. So it's trending up. I tell people if you're thinking about waiting till spring to sell, right now is a great time because inventory is kind of low, and it's a good time to put your house on the market if you're thinking about selling.
Okay, and in that, the fact that the business is busy, is it because the employment is good, or just because there's such scarcity that people who are currently renting are saying, forget renting, I want to buy?
Right now, rents for a three-bedroom, two-bath are $2,500 to $3,500. So your mortgage on a purchase is about the same. So people are starting to get wise and jump into the market for scarcity.
Okay, that's good. All right, let's look at that for a second. I'm a renter, and I'm paying about $2,500 a month for this, and I'm looking at a mortgage. What do you think $2,500 gets you in terms of borrowing power? I mean, rates.
You're looking at about $450,000 to $500,000.
And the property values in your area are
Anywhere from $4 to $1 million.
Okay, fine. So there are entry levels for people who are. It looks to me is that the $450,000 to $500,000 is the low end in your market. Is that right?
Correct. I just got somebody in contract on a $200,000 manufactured home, and his mortgage is $2,500. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath home, 1,700 square foot. Great park, great recreation room, swimming pool, pool tables, all that, card room and everything. So he's really happy.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, and you were able to find somebody to lend money to that.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's actually moving out of a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment.
Yes.
That he's paying $1,954, and his mortgage is $2,500 now.
And he owns, and he gets the benefit of the tax write-off.
Correct.
So basically what he's going to do is end up saving money at the end of the year rather than just having the money go down or go into the landlord's pocket.
Plus, his family is a family of four, and they're crammed into a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I think, you know, have people forgotten about the times when the entire system almost crashed? I mean, that's going back 2007, 2008, 2009. Has the market recovered so much that that is no longer a thought in people's heads? Or is that still a lingering effect in why people might be renting instead of buying?
Oh, that's definitely in their heads.
Okay.
And plus the rental market right now. So, I mean, if you're stuck in a rental, you don't think you can afford a mortgage. And until somebody comes along and says, here's what rent is compared to your mortgage. I don't think a lot of people know that you could buy a piece of property with the same amount of rent that you're paying.
Well, I think that that's part of what we're trying to do here is to educate a little bit in the marketplace about what we are. First of all, people making the kind of money that you're talking about, the guy that is going to pay $2,500 a month towards his mortgage rather than his rent, so his yearly income has to be around $50,000, I would assume, right? $50,000, $60,000 combined income, him and his spouse?
Correct.
Okay, so if you're out there in the marketplace right now and you're listening to my voice and you hear that number, oh, yeah, we make that. Well, I can't afford anything. The market's too hot. Prices are too high. And, you know, what kind of down payment, what kind of income that I have to put, what else do I need? The best thing to do is give us a call because it sounds to me like there's an opportunity here that you might not have thought of. You can call us here at 888-713-2929 or call Darren directly. And that number again, Darren, is?
408-425-7845.
Okay, excellent. Now, let's get into a little bit more. This time of year, families aren't moving because the kids are already in school. But let's talk a little bit about school systems in your area. How are they?
Great school district in Santa Clara.
Yes.
Campbell's got that one of the higher rates in school districts right now.
Okay, and obviously that will improve property values in that particular area. And when you're talking about pricing in the market, whether it's the low end or the high end, is that one of the main reasons why people would move into an area, obviously because of the school system?
Correct. It's a really high motivator for people to move.
Yes, it is. And we've talked several times. I have children. I think you do as well in terms of being able to get them into a school system that you feel confident with, not only confident with, but that you also feel safe. So the areas that we're talking about here are obviously they seem to be safe. In my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong. School systems are good. And it seems to me that there's also an opportunity here to get into buy now. And the reason to pick up the phone is, as we've stated, that you may be paying too much in rent and you may not understand or realize that you could afford a home in this area. So make sure you do pick up the phone, email us, call us, look at our website. You have opportunities here that you may not be aware of. All right. What do you see going forward for the next 6 months in the business in terms of property values and interest rates in your area?
our area right now, interest rates dropped, so it's going to get an increase of buyers, so it's going to be a great time to buy.
Exactly. And traditionally, when do you see most of the homes hit the market? It's springtime, right? I mean, you're suggesting people get into the market now, sell their house now if they're thinking of doing it. But traditionally, more houses come on the market in what, March, April?
Correct. It's a lot easier to get into contract over the holiday seasons because only the real true buyers are out there grinding it out. And that's what I do. I grind it out and help my buyers.
Okay, that's awesome. And, you know, for anybody who was listening to this, you couldn't find a better person than the person that's speaking on the radio. So, again, another plug for both Malibu, but certainly for Darren in the area to be able to get him, get in touch with him, working through the holidays, working for buyers, sellers, and people who need loans to get a home. He couldn't be better. Darren, I really appreciate you coming on and give us an update both in your area and how business is going to look in the next 6 months. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. You guys have a super fantastic day.
And you do as well. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. We'll be right back.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@MalibuFunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929, www.malibufunding.net. You can also reach us in a number of different ways, certainly by email, info@malibufunding.net, or go to Facebook, come on the web, any other way that you can think to get us smoke signals. You can give us a call, a lot of different ways. Obviously, the Facebook is, go to Facebook, homeloans:MalibuFunding, and we will pop right up. We have a lot of new people coming to the show, I'm really happy to say. Thanks to everybody up at KDOW. Really appreciate those guys and gals up there who are giving us a hand, getting out a really great show. We're getting some great response also in Southern California as well out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay, so what has happened in the past 6 years, 7 years ago, and of course, last Tuesday? There are things that go on both in politics and the way things are perceived that affect you in your mortgage rates. If you are a business person and you have been rejoicing over the Republican win, great. If you are a person who necessarily would like more benefits and government to step in when times are bad, it's not your day. However, what I'd like to talk about right now is how come when we look at the long view, it's quite a bit different than it was in the moment. For instance, let's drift back 7 years when the country was on the brink of collapse. Not only the country, but as the U.S. goes, so goes the world. I mean, currently today, we're seeing Japan loosen their monetary policy in order to free up money to end their 20-year stagnation in their economy. We see political turmoil in Russia, certainly in the Middle East, and other parts of the world. We have the Ebola scare. We have a number of different happenings in the oil market, which are collapsing oil prices around the world. As of this recording today, oil prices are below $80 a barrel. And this doesn't bode well for a number of different countries who rely on a steady oil price. So let's look back at 2007. We are 2007 before the collapse. The economy was humming along. Jobs were plentiful. Prices were up. People were able to borrow money off their houses. Housing prices were up. And then, lo and behold, what we had was what Alan Greenspan referred to when the dot-com era was here. Overall exuberance in the marketplace. It was something along those lines. So when the money was free, and we had two off-books wars being funded by the federal government, which means that in the federal accounts, when they had the budget every year, it wasn't accounted for. And that was, I think they added it up, it was about $4 trillion that wasn't accounted for, that was borrowed on the credit of the United States to those people buying U.S. Treasuries, U.S. bonds, but it wasn't accounted for in the budget. So therefore, in 2007, and then therefore in 2008, and I'm sure those of you in my listening audience, everybody saw the movie Too Big to Fail, and we watched our favorite stars on television telling us about what happened with Hank Paulson and Timothy Geithner and the rest of the gals and guys at the Fed and with the major banks around the country. It was great seeing our favorite stars reenact these people who we have no idea who they look like or what they're about. However, what it did detail for me personally was that the complications of modern economics and how intertwined everything is so volatile and so precarious that within a very short time, I would say 6 to 8 weeks, the entire world was almost collapsed economically. So what happened? Okay, what happened? We all are well aware of the mortgage meltdown or whatever it is called today. I was involved with it. I was in the real estate industry. And I was in the mortgage industry. And as we were watching, and previous to that, every 6 months for the last 18 months before 2007, so 2006 Q4, 2006 Q2, up through 2008, when we had zero loans going through, every 6 months we would find that the banks would just stop lending. Now, I'm currently a lender. I have some inkling as to what happens when credit freezes up. I depend on 5 warehouse lines in order to fund loans for Malibu Funding. And my warehouse lines give Malibu Funding money so that then we can lend it out to borrowers. And then those loans, once they are collateralized by real property, get purchased by my investors. And of course, I have 5-6 investors that buy my loans. That's how it works. If any one or if all 3 of those things stop, I could be left funding loans with loans that I have to now repay to the warehouse line with my investors not purchasing of millions of dollars on my books that I can't repay. That is what happened to the small bank at the time in 2007, 2008. The large banks, same thing. They looked at loans that they were purchasing and then reselling to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they were unable to do that because their credit froze. So at the time, all the credit froze in the lending industry, which of course created this vacuum. And therefore, when credit freezes, nobody borrows, and all of a sudden, nobody's spending, and then the overall employment goes obviously up. Unemployment goes up because if people aren't spending, there are no jobs. As everybody knows, 75% to 80% of the U.S. economy is about you and me and my producer Desiree and the people at my office who we get paid and the consumers out there. Everybody goes out. I buy groceries. I buy maybe a new car once every 4 or 5 years. I rent. I own. I pay a mortgage. All the things that you do every day. I go to Starbucks and buy a cup of coffee, or you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you buy a donut or whatever it is. This is what drives the American economy. Okay, so what we're dealing with today versus what we were dealing with then. We've come all this way. So that's what happened. The guy who stepped in to the mess that was, and now we look 6 years later at a political landscape which punishes that same guy or party that came in and either protected or they overprotected or they overfunded or it's not economically sound or whatever you say. But when I was in 2009 and dust balls rolling across the floor at my office, I was in fear that the country was going to collapse. Maybe you out there were in the same boat that I was in. Healthcare, maybe not around. We had debts probably couldn't pay. We had mounting foreign deficits to what we were be able to sell domestically to foreign countries. We were importing oil more. So given that 6-year period where we are today, the economy is growing. We've ended QE. We've got a robust look past the nuclear meltdown or whatever you want to call it, I'm not in fear today. And I have all the advantages. So I can't imagine what it was like for people out there who didn't have all the advantages. So we've come 6 years later. That party's punished. The guy who is the president of the United States is blamed for everything from, you know, Ebola to, I don't know, whatever it is. And I'm not a political guy. I'm just looking at the landscape of where I was and where it is today and how politics is so. It's like when George Bush Sr., when he was able to garner a coalition to go in and kick Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. Okay? When he did that, his popularity and what he did and how he put a coalition together was hailed around the world. 2 years later, Bill Clinton beats him in an election. How politics turns on a dime in this country because either the voters don't know, don't care, or the process itself is so jaded that we're not really sure of the footing of the politicians who are leading us. I don't know, has it always been like this? Probably. But as I remember back when I was a kid, it wasn't. Anyway, the election's over. We're in a new footing. Let's see where the political landscape takes the mortgage rates and the mortgage market. My name is Jeff Barton, 888-713-2929. Your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc. We'll be right back.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We are very excited most days to bring on terrific guests. We've had a number of entrepreneurs on the past few shows. We try to bring you perspective on both business owners as well as agents and loan officers who both work for Malibu Funding and who also work in an area with which you may have a great deal of interest. We have some such person here today. I'm really happy to have on the show Julie Peisner from Paragon Real Estate. Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, great. Julie, could you just quickly run down the areas that you service so that the people in the listening audience will go, oh, yeah, yeah, I live over there, and let me listen to this.
Well, I specialize in San Francisco mostly.
Okay.
And also parts of the Bay Area, which consists of five counties.
Right.
Marin and East Bay and the South Bay Peninsula area, to name a few. I would say 90% of my personal business is focused directly on the, you know, inner city.
Okay.
And surrounding neighborhoods.
Okay. Tell me about the demand. Tell me about pricing. What's happening in your area?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people find this as no surprise, but the San Francisco Bay Area market is thriving pretty well.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, in part thanks to we are the hub of a lot of the tech firms.
Right.
And also it's, you know, kind of a old school supply and demand issue. We're on a finite amount of space,
right,
with growing demand. So we do pretty well in terms of, you know, demand to be living in the international metropolitan area, and also, you know, just young people and lots of food and social activities. And so there's a lot of demand to live in or around San Francisco for all of those reasons.
Okay. Good thing that you brought up young people, because we have a national perspective on a lot of what we talk about. Locally, of course, we know that young people can afford properties in San Francisco because of the employment. Is that right?
Well, yes, mostly it depends on what they do for a living.
Of course. Well, no, that's true.
Yeah, I would say your average teacher probably can't afford a property in,
right,
San Francisco. But yes, you know, the young, and this is more of an overgeneralization, but the tech crowd,
right,
which tends to be a big segment of the population, they do very well. You know, they get paid very well, and so therefore, yes, they can afford property here. And especially, you know, the Twitters and the Googles of the world, right, they get a lot of stock options and things like that. And they're, San Francisco, I think, is leading the nation in employment right now.
Right.
We are at, you know, what's considered to be full employment. And I personally have been living here for about 18 years, and I have noticed a huge difference in just the momentum of the city right now.
Do you think that it's driven mostly by the large corporations, or do you see, I don't know if it, whether it's a spillover or whether new entrepreneurial businesses, small businesses are hiring? Is it a combination, or what are you seeing?
I think it's a combination. I think that there are, of course, you know, at one end of the spectrum, you have Google and Yahoo and Cisco, and they employ, you know, 20,000-30,000 people. But there are also a lot of medium to small, you know, startups, tech firms, things like that. And they are, in the past few years, really trying to focus more on moving towards San Francisco rather than the peninsula and the South Bay.
Okay.
And between that and just the population of their employees being on the younger side, you know, and that's part of the reason why they want to be more based in the city, is because they know that their employees are younger and they want to live in, you know, a happening area.
Right, exactly.
And so, yeah, it's a combination. There's small, medium, large tech firms. You know, my husband works at one of the tech firms, and that's based here in the city, and I would say they would be considered a medium-sized firm.
I see. And speaking of your husband, and he's working for a medium-sized tech firm, the tech firms themselves are based in all industries? Is it one particular industry? Is it a software-based application?
I think it probably leans heavier towards, you know, Square and things like that. But there are a lot of startups. And I personally have, you know, a handful of clients who are entrepreneurs and starting their own businesses. And it really runs the gamut. I mean,
right,
I have one client who's just started his own venture capital firm. I have another client who just started his own firm, like making instant tea.
Oh, really? Instant.
So it really is all over the place.
Nesty.
I think they come here, you know, a lot of people come here because of just it's thriving.
Right.
And it San Francisco is kind of leading the way in wanting people to just, you know, try out and, you know, fail if you want to. But there's a lot of, you know, especially Twitter and Square and a lot of those companies, they moved into the inner city part, which was, and they got a lot of tax breaks for doing that. And that also led the way to kind of reinventing that whole area as a new neighborhood, which is now, you know, a place where people want to live. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, it was kind of left for nothing.
Right. You know, I absolutely know. And I think that not only is occurring there, but it's occurring in Southern California, certainly down in San Diego, the whole rebirth of the Gaslight District.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what's happening in downtown L.A.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, I'm I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, spent some time in Boston during their renovation. Oh, this is going back a long time ago, but they redid their entire waterfront, much like San Antonio did, much like Cleveland did. And what we're seeing currently today is a lot of that going on. And I think the millennials going back downtown because they're young, they're either burdened by some kind of debt or they just don't want to, you know, settle down right now. It's much more happening to be downtown San Francisco than out in the Bronx.
Right. And also, they don't want to, you know, they want easy transportation. They want to be able to get to work in 5 or 10 minutes by hopping on, you know, a train or a subway.
Right.
And they don't want to have to get in their cars and drive an hour to go to work.
What do you like doing? Do you like representing sellers or buyers? Which side of the fence are you on? Most people like one or the other.
Yeah, I'm sure most people will say that they like working with sellers. I actually like working with both. It certainly is wonderful to sell property in San Francisco because it's almost, you know, dare I say, an easy sale.
Yeah,
because
I know.
You know, because we're so low in inventory that it rarely do properties sit on the market. But I love working with buyers because it means meeting new people and, you know, helping them search for the right neighborhoods for them, which, you know, as an 18-year resident, mm-hmm. I know based on somebody's, you know, wish list, what neighborhood I think they would fit into well.
Right.
And San Francisco is very small, but it's also has a lot of different, you know, almost kind of segregated neighborhoods that many people don't know about.
Yeah, it's very much in terms of a big city, it's very segmented. There's a lot of different areas, little inlets, nooks. It's almost like microclimating is what you would call
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
Micro neighborhoods or microclimates.
Exactly right. Okay, in terms of the projection for what you're going to be doing in the next 3 to 5 months, what's happening in the area? And do you see a slowdown happening? Do you see, well, now that the Republicans have swept into office, do you see regulation changing in your area? Probably not, right? I mean, it's a pretty Democratic town up there.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco is very blue.
Right.
And because it's a very historical town as well.
That's right.
It's really hard to get anything passed here without having a lot of, you know, people say, you know, having a lot of say.
Right.
So right now we're trying to develop a lot of different areas, like out in the, you know, former industrial neighborhoods.
Sure.
One of them actually just passed, which is great. So they're in the early phases of developing, like the old waterfront areas that are further south, like past the ballpark.
Right.
So there's a lot of development happening in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus years. And then the things that are happening now, there are a lot of buildings under construction right now that had been permitted many years ago, but
right.
because of the, you know, the market crash, they just put a halt on all of that. But now they're all back and, you know, business is booming. And so there's lots of development. I think right now we're on the heels of a very traditional, you know, seasonal slowdown
where
you won't see as much inventory coming on the market just because, you know, people have holidays on the brain.
Right.
But I also tell my buyers that now is a wonderful opportunity to not have to deal with a lot of competition for that reason.
Hey, Julie, we're up against the clock. Can you give people a phone number that they can reach you directly?
Absolutely. You can call me anytime on my cell phone, which is 415-823-0824.
Awesome. Hey, I really appreciate you coming on. We love perspectives of people from the area and certainly people who don't work for Malibu Funding. It just gives us a refreshing look at everything. I appreciate it, and I hope to have you back in the future.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929 is our telephone number. You can reach us by email, info@MalibuFunding.net. We also are on Facebook. I'm sure everybody is aware, but let me just repeat where you can see us there as well. Go to Facebook, Home Loans, and then colon Malibu Funding, and we'll pop right up. You can see our conversation that we have daily with our particular audience who's listening and also who's following us on Facebook. We had two terrific guests today. We had Darren and we had Julie on today, and both of these people giving us unique perspective on you know, the market itself, what's happening in different areas. The two San Francisco-based people giving us great feedback on local market as well as employment trends and everything else. Again, if you have suggestions for the show, now we've gone into Realtor of the Week. We're trying to come up with a local in your area person that we can put on the show and give their expertise in the local marketplace. Obviously, we're being being broadcast in several different markets in the San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland, out in San Jose, and certainly down in Southern California, Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside, and also in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've got a number of different clientele, a number of different people who listen to the show who have different experiences and problems. So it's very, very important for everybody out there to understand that local, like politics, real estate is local. Location, location, location doesn't talk about big data. It talks about the house on the corner with a better view than the house three doors down. So locally, to be able to get in touch with people from our company or people that we bring on the show is really important for you to get a perspective of where you want to live or what kind of mortgage you want to get or anything else that has to do with school systems and fire and police and crime statistics and any number of things that are going to make you want to live somewhere or not to live somewhere. And so I just wanted to give you that information and to be able to say, look, we're here for you. And we want to be able to listen to what you need and what you're looking for in both housing and in mortgage rates. Mortgage rates, as we went through the show today, are still pretty awesome. Employment seems to be doing well, although it's, as I was saying earlier in either this show or last show, about the party that's in power for a long time as the presidency seems to get trounced during the midterm elections right before the change in the presidency will take place in 2 years. And that happened again this time. It happened to Reagan. It happened to Clinton. It happened to George Bush. And now it's again happening to Barack Obama. And all the pains and the ills and the hammering that have been going on to whoever's in office finally takes its toll and a new party sweeps in. Well, we have got a sea change in both national and local politics, although in our listening area, I don't think it's changed all that much. We have a pretty darn good democratically controlled group in both the Bay Area and in Los Angeles, as well as certain other areas that we are being listened to. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see what brings forth from the changes. Hopefully there'll be less regulation and there'll be more money available to all borrowers. Again, we will see when the new close of the power for the Republican takes over both congressionally and locally. My name is Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.